Everybody, including you, including me, needs a little help. Even if you have trouble admitting it. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. It's just that simple. And if your sales needs help, it may be time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy and gamified way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn some new advanced strategies to close the next deal. You know, sales, closing, that's what it's all about. Or creating the atmosphere where the other person wants to buy. We have hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting, you name it. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge anywhere on the planet that you can actually use 1 minute after you learn it. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com today and sign up for a free demo. I love free, and so will you.
Here's the deal. A couple years ago, my mom, she's fiery. Actually, she's from Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
That's where I'm from.
Oh, we know moms like that.
Okay. So she got a new phone, a smartphone, which was just a few years ago. So that can tell you that she's probably on the back side of the curve.
Yeah.
And so mom spends the next 30 days trying to text us. She comes back. She's furious. She's like, you haven't responded to one of my texts. I'm like, mom, let me see your phone. I look at my mom's phone and she'd been texting herself for a month thinking that she's texting me.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sell or Die, the global premier podcast for sales and personal development. I am Jeffrey Gittimer, wrote the Sales Manifesto and the Little Red Book of Selling, and
I'm Jen Gluckow, founder and author of Sales in a New York Minute. Thank you for pressing play. Thank you for being with us today. We have an amazing show.
You know, today is going to be one of those magical shows because we have a guy who's going to talk about the magic moment, and we're not allowed to play the Drifter song because we'll go into jail for iTunes.
Podcast jail is what I would call it.
Podcast jail. Oh, yeah. Boy. So our guest today is Casey Graham. He's the CEO and co-founder of Gravy. What they do is they're the leading company in failed payment recovery. So like if a customer pays you on a monthly basis, let's say with a credit card, and their credit card declines or they get a new card or whatever, their team helps recover those failed payments. And so they focus on retention. But here's why you need to care about them. Whether you're collecting a card or not, Casey's going to teach us how to create that magic sales moment and how to retain and create loyal customers.
But before we get to Casey, we got a five-star review.
All right. And this week's five-star review comes from JPR. He says he's been a listener for a very long time due to the terrific insight that is useful the minute you hear it. I've learned at least one bit of information that I can utilize in my business or personal life. Jeffrey and Jennifer, keep the value flowing. Rest assured that I'll tell both my friends about you.
Jay.
Very well done.
Thank you, Jay. Funny guy, you. Thank you. So,
Jen, what have you been up to this week?
Oh, man. Well, you know, we had that whole relaunch of the 2020 Sales Vision Group where we had this amazing offer. You can still access if you're trying to get into 2020. You can come in on an annual plan. We'd love to have you. You know, if you've never heard of it before, Jeffrey and I go live in a Facebook group weekly. We give you sales strategies that you can use to earn more money. Mm-hmm. And we help you. We're like your, not like, we become your mentors and your sidekicks, your side coaches. So we are here for you. And it's just been a terrific launch, letting new members into the group. And I'm just super stoked about it.
It's a fun group. We hang out on Sunday nights, but the people in the group talk to each other. You post a question and you'll get some answers and then you'll get our answers. And you can't ask for anything more than that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jeffrey. What's going on with
you? I wanted to say a couple of things.
Yeah, what's going on? You tell us.
We're having a good summer. We went to this museum yesterday in Charlotte and it was remarkable. It was all about being interactive with the art.
Mm-hmm.
Jen knows what it was called, but I forget the name of the museum.
It was called Portal.
Portal. And you went in and you were in the bank vault, you were in a television room, you were in a art room, and you took pictures and played around an upside down room. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool. And, you know, a little bit before that, about a week before that, we took the team to see the Lego exhibit at our children's museum here, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
It was an unbelievable exhibit that one of the 12 certified Lego coaches in the world created very famous buildings and they were tall. They didn't even look like Legos when you walked in. And then as you got closer, you're like, what?
No, these are Legos. And so, it's like 500,000 Legos or something. Anyway, it was pretty cool. And it was part of the team. Like, we all had a good time.
Yeah, it got everyone's creative juices flowing. So if you feel stuck, if you feel like you're not bringing all you can, go to a kids' museum. Go find an immersive art museum. Go take in something that you don't normally do, because I guarantee you it's going to fire you up.
It'll be way better than Starbucks in the morning and about the same amount of money.
That's right. But now it's time for Casey Graham, who's going to teach you the four-step process to creating a magic moment.
Make it happen in a magical way, Casey.
I don't know if you know how we found you, but for those diehards that question whether Instagram marketing works or not, here's the story. One of my fellow entrepreneur babes was at a conference that I couldn't attend last minute, and because we had to go to Mexico, and she was in a picture with Casey, and she tagged you, and I was like, "Well, what's gravy? Who's she hanging out with? What is this?" And so,
It
was Haley Burkhead.
Oh, I love Haley.
Yeah, the profit planner. I love her. So, I'm obviously, you know, being the Instagram stalker that I am, I'm like, I got to check them out. And then I'm messaging her and being like, okay, so does it really work? Do you use them? What's going on? What's the deal? Tell me everything. And then next day she's making an introduction to you guys. So like,
wow.
Yeah. Instagram marketing works. And you guys weren't even like trying to market. You guys were just showing your lives and showing what's going on, you know, and it's amazing the power of Instagram.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I want to know a little bit about your background, your history. How did you get into this business? Like where?
Yeah. America wants to know.
I mean, when you were five, you didn't think I'm going to start a business to collect failed payments.
Yeah,
I did not. But at seven, I started my first company.
Ooh, what was it?
I was a weed picker for Miss Cassidy down the street. And she had a 2-acre yard and I went and picked weeds out of her garden. For $7, it took like half the day. I think she won on that one.
Yeah. You know what, though? She taught you that if you work your ass off, you get money.
That's right. And so anyway, the way I got into this is, you know, I've been an entrepreneur now for this is, I think, year number 11 or 12 of nobody giving me a paycheck, having to create our own. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've started, grown, and sold three different companies, each one in different industries, and they've increased in size of the exit on each one of them. And I always say that enough, like, oh, to brag or whatever, but just my diversity has been in just different spaces, and I've seen a lot of different things. Our last company was in the church space, and we taught pastors how to basically run a church like a business, because it is a business in a way. And they're horrible at like finances and horrible at like organizing people and leading and all this kind of stuff in general.
So, Casey, they're also horrible at keeping current.
Yes. And so we were able to provide some of that, and we built a technology as well. And so the way that we got this story connected to gravy was our entire business was based upon recurring revenue. And so as the company, it was an Inc. 5000 company 3 years in a row. So it was like rocket ship. I mean, it was just going, going, going. And as we were growing, I'm a simple guy. So I'm from Alabama. So you got to keep it real simple with me. And it was, hey, we added 100 subscriptions last month. In my head, I was like, so that will equal X amount of revenue. Well, it started not adding up. and we'd add 100, but then the revenue wasn't there. And then I was like, what the crap is going on? And so I started digging down into it, and I started seeing there was this thing called failed payments on credit cards. And I never thought about this being a huge issue in businesses, but if, as you're growing subscriptions, about 12% of the credit cards are going to fail, and they fail upon purchase, and they fail upon just on a monthly subscription. And so there's constantly credit cards failing. And we had this huge growth. And so we, the private equity group came to us and they said, we want to buy your business. I said, sweet. They said, we have $1 billion to spend in the next 12 months. And I said, well, I'll happily take some of that. And so I remember going to the private equity group's office and they said, like, I was talking about, look at the sales, look at the growth, look at this. And what they cared about was lifetime value of customers, because they didn't give a crap about what the sales were if the customers were not going to be there years down the road.
Yeah.
And so they started drilling me on, tell us about what you do for this. Tell us about customer success. Tell us about your CAC to LTV. They start drilling down into the data on our customers. And it looks like on month seven, you have X amount of customers falling off. What's happening in month seven? All this stuff. And I'm giving the CEO answer of like, yeah, but it's so awesome. Look at the profit. Look at the sales. They're like, we don't care. The value of your company is based upon the lifetime value of your customers and future cash flow. And so when they started drilling me on that, they said, listen, we can make you an offer. But the offer literally was four times bigger 2 years later because we fixed that problem.
Woo.
And so in doing that, it took 2 years and we fixed lifetime value. We fixed retention. We focused instead of just on sales, we focused on the back end of the business and we fixed it. And I just assumed, and we sold the company in 2016. I assumed any entrepreneur would do that, right?
Bad assumption.
Wouldn't any entrepreneur think about if somebody's already paying you that you would care about those things? And so we came up with a mantra, and here's the mantra: pay attention to paying people.
Ooh.
Pay attention to paying people. And that's what we did. So we sold the company. I was bored. I had nothing to do. I started buying commercial real estate. I literally thought my entrepreneur career was over. I just was like, okay, I'm going to be an investor. Well, that sucked. Like, that's a terrible life for me. So I started asking some friends questions. And one of my friends is Amy Porterfield. Y'all know Amy?
Yeah. Love her.
So I've known Amy for a long, long time. And I said, Amy, what are y'all doing for, you know, failed payment recovery? What's your lifetime value look like? You know, all this kind of stuff. And there's another guy named Brad Martineau, and he's got a company called Sixth Division. I started asking him the same thing. And the answers weren't necessarily as super clear. And so I said, hey, can I get in the data and look? And we started looking into the data, and I started seeing that, like, there's a massive amount of people in this industry of software, box subscription, online courses, of people not focusing on and paying attention to their paying customers. And so that's how the idea was birthed.
So cool.
It's a great idea. And what do you do to not piss people off?
Well,
let me give it a premise for just a second. If you owe somebody money, diehards, and a collection agency calls you, their job is to get your money no matter what they have to do. They will burn you in hell to get your money.
Yeah.
Evidenced by companies like the Bally Gym. You know, sure. They would make you sign a 3-year contract and you cancel it because you moved. And they would come after your ass and sue you and take away your car and piss you off to the sky until actually Bally went broke because of their practices.
Sure.
Now, what do you do, Mr. Smarty Britches, to preserve the customer while you're getting the money?
Number one, we don't do collections and we don't go after money that people owe people past a 30-day period.
Gotcha.
We only focus on subscription management. So somebody's on a subscription, their card fails, and yes, they may be like in a 12-month payment plan, but we're instantly on top of them. It's called involuntary churn. They the credit card involuntary fail out. And then we also focus on voluntary churn, which is if somebody has a subscription or a software and they email in and they say, I want to cancel, we're the people that do the negotiation to keep customers back. So we are customer service focused on recovering payments and customers. We're not collections. Collections, they wait too long. They are last resort. They are after time has lapsed. They also represent, they're a third party. We don't, we act as if we are our customers. So we have brand integrity. So our, we line up with the values. So like with Amy Porterfield, for instance, Amy has a standard in which she operates. We email out of Renee@amyporterfield.com. So we act as if we are her. Mm-hmm. We're not a third party and nobody even knows that we exist. And gotcha. So we call it brand integrity. And the number one way to get somebody to pay you is not pressure, it's empathy. So it's empathy. And what empathy is putting yourselves in the shoes of somebody else and feeling the way that they feel. And so what we train our retention specialist on is two things, consistency and empathy. So we have a 60-day follow-up process and it's all about listening. We want to hear, we want to understand, and that's how we're able to win in the market.
Well, you have a 4-step system to keeping customers. So
yeah.
What is that system?
Yeah, well, do y'all want to dig down through it?
Hell yeah. Yeah.
No, we
want.
Wait a minute. Are any of them punch him in the face with a shovel?
If you want it to be, is that how you treat your customers?
That's the Philadelphia method.
No,
it is.
Good thing we're in Charlotte now.
I grew up going to the Philadelphia Ballet because my cousin was in it.
But isn't that a beautiful place to?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So anyway, side note, what was the question?
Oh. What's the 4-step process?
Your 4-step system. You have built this amazing 4-step system to keeping customers.
Yeah. Well, so this wasn't, we didn't build it as much as we discovered it.
Okay.
So currently, and I'm looking at current data, is that we've had 511,000. So over 500,000 touch points, which are emails, text messages, or phone conversations in the last 24 months with customers.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that, what we discovered was, what are they telling us of why they're leaving? And what can we do to bridge the gap on the front end and be proactive? And so we are actually even trying to help our customers be proactive and getting better so that they don't have as much declines. It hurts us, but it's better for the customer, right? So out of that, here's the 4 things that we found. The first one's called the Mad Mom Principle. So I don't know if y'all got mamas that will get after you, but my mama would straight up whip my butt growing up. And I used to be a redhead. So
got a lot of beatings.
You have no idea. And the worst was the pinch under the arm in the grocery store.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, no.
I was like, she'd lift me up, you know, and I'm like, oh. But here's the deal. A couple years ago, my mom, she's fiery. Actually, she's from Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
That's where I'm from.
Oh, we know moms like that.
Okay. So Cherry Hill. So anyway, she comes over here. I live in Atlanta now, and we're sitting down having wings. And my wife, by the way, my wife's name is Casey as well. So if I say Casey, I'm not talking about myself in third person. Sometimes I forget and people are like, this guy's a douchebag. But so I'm sitting down with my wife, Casey, and my mom, and my mom is furious at us. And she said she's been texting us. She's been calling us. And like, we will not respond to her and communication. And I'd like, Mom, if you'll just text, we will get back to you on simple things. And so she got a new phone, a smartphone, which was just a few years ago. So that can tell you that she's probably on the back side of the curve.
Yeah.
And so mom spends the next 30 days trying to text us. She comes back. She's furious. She's like, you haven't responded to one of my texts. I'm like, Mom, let me see your phone. I look at my mom's phone and she'd been texting herself for a month thinking that she's texting me. Now, I have no idea how you do that. But here's what I learned from the experience is that what is obvious for me, other people can be completely oblivious of. What's obvious for me, other people can be completely oblivious of. And so what we found with people, of the reason why people are canceling subscriptions is that the business owner or the product designer or the course creator, it's so freaking obvious that you log in and you watch the whole video and you do the outline and then you do the step. What we find is these customers go, I don't know what to do. Like, I didn't know to do, or I didn't see the resources, or it didn't make sense to me, the flow. And so they just don't know what to do. And so what I found out is that a lot of people that create stuff, they create it and it makes a whole lot of sense to them, but it makes no sense to the end user. And so what we started doing with customers Have you guys ever watched anybody go through your course?
Yep.
Over the shoulder, watch them.
No.
And so, no.
Okay, so here's the deal. For my mom, I had to create a button. Press this button and you send me a message, right? It's that simple. Like there is no ambiguity, and this is how you do it. Because I watched how she was trying to text and I was like, oh crap, now I get it. So an old school practice in software companies forever has been an over the shoulder watching a user experience software, literally. And you watch them experience the platform. And about every 60 to 90 seconds, you ask the question, why did you click on that? Why did you do that? What was your mindset? What did you think that meant? And so you, for a 30-minute session, you watch them experience everything that you do. And then from that, you get to know, here's how people think, right? Now there's software for it. There's a software called Full Story. They're out of Atlanta. And you can actually watch how people interact with your course or your product or anything and see where they click. You can see their finger literally scrolling on the screen, what they clicked on, where they click, what they do, what they don't do. And the point of that is, what you think is easy isn't obvious for the end user is not. And so when we're dealing with failed payments, when we're dealing with people who want to cancel, the number one thing we found is it's just not easy enough. You haven't made it easy enough for the person to be able to engage. So that's the first thing that you got to do. And that's the first thing that you got to focus on. So that's number one.
Hello, everybody. This is Jake Stenziano, host of Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, Mr. Gino Barbaro.
The Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast catalogs our journey to becoming financially free through multifamily real estate investing.
Gang, each week we interview a guest specifically chosen for their expertise in and around multifamily real estate.
We talk you through our entire process, every victory and every misstep and everything that we've learned along the way.
What does that look like? Buy right, manage right, and finance right.
The audio podcast is available wherever fine podcasts are found.
Or check us out on our YouTube page where you'll find tons of other great content.
I gave the very first seminar to Singular Wireless. Hmm. They had 5,000 people in the audience, and the CEO came out and started to talk about the word churn.
Huh.
And said that their churn was 3.2%. And I asked the CEO, what does that mean in terms of money? And he said, about $200 million. So I said, is it churn or is it your inability to keep customers loyal? And he said, good point. And so when you use the word churn,
yep,
it's actually, it's loss of revenue.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Therefore, stop using that dumb fucking word churn because it does you no good.
I love it.
You know what the word is. I know what the word is. But if you put it in terms of money,
yeah,
everyone will understand it.
That's good. That's good. I love it.
I want to add to that. Did you call it the Mad Mom Principle?
Yeah, because my mama was mad.
Yeah, I love the name of it.
Quit making people mad.
I love the name of it, and I wonder how many of our diehards are you watching your customers use your product or service, whether it's technology-based or a service that you provide? Like, how are they accepting it? How are they using it? What issues are they having along the way? When we built a new website, we installed something, I think it's called Heat Map or something like that.
Yeah, totally.
And it shows you like where people are clicking, and it's the same thing, right? And we couldn't believe how many people were going to the button we thought they would never go to, and how many people were writing in saying, hey, you know that thing that's in every single one of Jeffrey's books called a Git Bit where you can get more free information? Yeah. I can't find it. Yeah. It's like, it's right there. What do you... Like, so it was so obvious to us, but it was not obvious to our users, and we had to change things around so that they could be served by just going to the website.
You know, the comedian Carrot Top, when he would go to an airport to check in, they would say, where are you going to? And he would turn his suitcase over, and there was a map on his suitcase, and go, right fucking here. Just totally funny. It's amazing to me how many people have answers that are not followable. I mean, that's basically what you're looking at. There are the over-the-shoulder method, obviously, is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But the language that you use in order to be able to make that happen is also critical.
Yeah,
and, you know, what Casey's talking about is how easy is it for your customer to use your stuff once they've paid you?
Yeah. And over the shoulder now can be a Zoom call, right? And you pull up a screen and listen to and do. And so let me give you two more takeaways on that one, and then we'll move to the second one. Get somebody that's not in your target audience to do it. So if your target audience is 30-year-old females, get like a 64-year-old male.
overweight male.
overweight. No, for real. Like, and if your product is something that is about finances, get somebody who knows nothing about finances. Yeah. So get somebody that's totally out of it. And it's got to be so obvious for the person who has no idea. And so the two things I always say when you're building a product, a technology, a service, anything, is that you got to answer these two questions every step along the way is do this first, do this next. Do this first, do this next. And it needs to be that clear. Do this first.
Yeah.
Okay. When that's done, do this next. And that's how simple you make it.
And I'll guarantee you, half of the people that are listening right now think they know, but they do not actually know. And so I want to clarify it. Do you think you know, or do you actually know? That's the deal.
Yes, you don't know. And the way to know that is to be in a relationship with anybody and think you know what they're thinking, even if you live with them.
I know what you're thinking, honey.
Yeah, thanks, honey. Yeah. We think we know.
Yeah, we think we know. All right, let me give you number two. All you right. ready? Here's the second thing you got to do. I would call this the magic moment principle. And, when I had this church, the church business, so we tried to help pastors know how to raise money without being a TV preacher, right?
Because I understand.
Yeah,
99% of pastors are they're good. They're not trying to raise money and take. They literally don't. They want to just help people,
right?
And there's the 1% that, you know, ruin the whole batch and all this kind of stuff. But most of them are just people and they want to help people and they know stuff about the Bible or whatever, but they have zero idea of how to get people to actually take action and give their church or whatever a donation. And so we had this course called Giving Rocket, and it was a monthly membership program, and we helped them increase the operational giving of their church. And so I built all these cool videos, trainings, like we gave them tons of resources, all this crazy stuff. And about month four, we started seeing the significant drop off of revenue. And so I started calling people that were quitting, and I started calling everybody that unsubscribed from our email list. And people, a lot of people were like, well, screw those people. You know, they don't, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I wanted to learn, like, hey, I'm not even trying to win you back. I just, what's happening? And they were like, it's just too much. Like, we're overwhelmed, right? So we don't know what to do. I knew the system worked. I knew it worked because I consulted people and I helped them do it, and I knew it worked, but there was overwhelming for them. And so then I called people that were staying, and I was like, what are you doing? Why are you staying? And they said, oh, we're staying primarily because of this one thing. And it was the easiest thing that we produced for them. And here's what it was. Every 7 days, we would send them a 2-paragraph written out word for word, basically sales pitch of what to say from stage that weekend that would make the offering time fun or humorous or engaging or something that they could say that was a script for them. And every week they would use that script, and we branded it a giving talk. And so they would get up and do a giving talk, which essentially is a pitch, is what it is. And I was like, so are y'all watching my training videos? And they're like, well, not really. Are you doing all this? And so all my beautiful training videos, all of my special, amazing stuff, all important information, they didn't care. They wanted urgent help. And so what I learned is called the magic moment principle, is that within 7 days of somebody buying your product, your service, experiencing your thing, that you've got to give them a magic moment. And you say, what's a magic moment? here's what it is. It's a win, but it doesn't even have to be the full promise of the course or the product that you give them. It can even be a psychological win. Let me give you an example. When they would stand up, that first week, money didn't start flowing in to their church. But they felt like they made a difference or they did something better. It was a psychological win. They took a step and they said, okay, that felt good. I'll do that again. So another example is I was helping this lady who had a course to musicians, and she had this big whole thing about how to build funnels for musicians. It's great, but it takes a long time to get success on this stuff. Like, you can't just plug this crap in and all of a sudden have millions of dollars of sales. And so I said, well, what can you give them that they would feel, what do they feel good about? And they're like, Instagram. She's like, they all want Instagram, like likes and engagement and all this crap. I said, well, you do that well. So why don't you just give them the Instagram picture, give them the copy, tell them the hashtags to put, and give it to them every 2 days. And so every 2 days, she would just say, put this on your Instagram. And so all these artists would put it on their Instagram. They would all of a sudden magically get more likes. They'd get more comments. They would get more engagement. And guess what happened? They hadn't sold one freaking thing, but they felt good. So what's the magic moment principle? Disney does this. So when you buy a ticket to go on a Disney cruise, they'll send you a letter in the mail that says you can call this number and Mickey will talk to your kid on the phone. Okay. So you get the voice recording of Mickey. It's not even a thing that says, hey, welcome. We're excited that you're coming on the cruise. You know, all this kind of stuff. That's a magic moment principle. So what magic moment are you putting in? Because, but here's the deal. It's got to happen every 7 days, every 7 days. Another example is, have y'all ever heard of Strategic Coach?
Yep.
Yeah.
With Dan Sullivan. All right. Here's how they do it. So they train entrepreneurs on how to run their time and their calendar. The sticky magic moment they do is they say, but by the way, for free, every Monday morning at 10 a.m., we're going to train your assistant on how to manage this for you. So you don't even have to be on the call. Your assistant can call in and we're going to teach them what to do that week and train them every single week and get them motivated to manage your calendar better. That's a magic moment principle. So what is that in your business? And then here's the last question I would ask. Here's the question for every product, every service, everything is, if you didn't send that thing every 7 days, what is the thing or what's the magic moment that if you don't give it to your customers, they would be emailing you saying, where is it? I have to have it. If you don't have something that's sticky in your business of where is it? I've got to have it. I need it. Then you're going to lose customers at a massive rate. You got to create magic moments.
Do you feel it's harder to create a magic moment for B2B versus B2C?
No, gosh, no. No way. I mean, it's just the same. But what I'm saying is a magic moment does not have to be a result tied to even what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, when we started my email magazine about 15 years ago, I just sent my column out to salespeople, not knowing who they were. Well, it turns out a lot of them were managers, and they were using my column to run their sales meeting.
Yep.
Well,
perfect.
One day we had a glitch, and we couldn't get the email magazine out on time, and we had 100 phone calls.
Where is it?
Right, and it was like this. Oh, this is like valuable to some people. We're not just sending it out. They're using it.
Maybe we should charge for that.
Yeah. So, but it was a magic moment in terms of, it was a magic learning moment or a magic awareness moment or yes. A magic aha moment. Yeah. And I get what you're talking about. Most people don't even know what their magic moment is.
No. So for instance, there's an app I downloaded called Acorns. Have you heard of it?
No.
So Acorns, I was just interested in it just because it's a cool concept, which is essentially it's an app on your phone and you can it rounds up any of your spending on a debit card or credit card, every penny. And it takes, if you spend, you know, $5.20, it takes the 80 cents out at the end of the day, all of your things, and it rounds it and it throws that into either a 401k or an investment account or something like that. But the point of that is all of that crap is usually so complicated to like actually work. Within literally 10 minutes, I went from, I downloaded the app to they pulled something out of my account and it went into my investment 401k and it said, congratulations, you've started being an investor. I was like, that's incredible. Huh?
Right. Yeah.
But what is that for you? So it can be something with speed. It can be something with value. It can be something with, that they miss. But anyway, that's what it is. And so here's the last thing I would say is that the principle here is that you got to give them what they want. Start by giving them what they want and then give them what they need later. Start by giving them what they want now and then help them get what they need later. And so many times we know they need this big system. We know they need something other than standing up on the stage and doing a giving script. They do need more, but get them addicted to that. And then over time, you can help them with the bigger picture stuff.
Cool.
Gotcha. So we're thinking about doing 6-second videos on LinkedIn. I have almost 30,000 LinkedIn connections.
Wow.
And they give you that option to do those short videos. And we're going to start doing that to give people tips. And that will lead us to a bigger click.
But I think what you're talking about, the magic moment, is once someone has bought.
Yeah, I'm talking. Yeah, you can do it on the front or the back. But I'm talking about after they become a customer. And here's why I'm talking about that. For every 44 books written on sales and marketing, there's only one on customer success or customer loyalty. So nobody is talking about this. Like, and if they are, it's this weird segment of SaaS companies that's what they're talking about. But most people are, it's all sell or die. I mean, you guys it's sell or die. But my thing is, okay, sell, but it's continuing to sell to these people every month, all the time.
I'm like, going to, let me bust the myth. No one talks about the word loyalty. I was the first one to do it in 1998. They all talk about satisfaction, the biggest fucking bogus word on the planet.
Yeah.
And I talk about it in my seminars, the J.D. Power Company, they give out customer satisfaction awards to airlines, to car companies. Like, what could the category possibly be?
Yeah, that's so good.
So
there
has to be a loyalty company.
Yeah.
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 We'll talk about that because the little book of loyalty has been on my burner for a long time because we'll send you the customer satisfaction book. It's funny as hell, and it was written 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Literally. And still applicable. It's still funny as hell.
And so I know listeners may be listening to this going like, I thought what you did is, you know, recover failed payments and you're going to tell me that system. But here's what I found is like, nobody cares about that.
Right.
That is solving the problem. Like we're solving the problem after there's a problem.
Right.
These things are the proactive, helpful things on the front end to get better at your customer base that we've learned listening to these people. And so if somebody's listening, you're like, well, what do y'all do? Then I mean, we could talk about that at some point, but that's not.
We're going to put a link to your company in the show notes for sure. Worry. And we'll talk about you when we do our app. But this is so valuable. I want to make sure we get to step 3 and 4.
Here we go. Step 3. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. So here's what it is we call this the press zero principle. When you call an airline and you hear the automated thing, I know you start just pressing zero, right?
Yeah. Like, I'm screaming, agent. I've heard
customer
a rumor.
Service.
I don't know if it's true, but I've heard a rumor that I can detect how loud or angry your voice is. And if you sound very upset, they try to expedite you. So I'm like sitting, agent, slamming down zero.
I love it. So here's the principle here is the longer you delay, the louder they get. So the longer you delay in helping a customer, the louder they get.
Yeah.
And so I see so many companies that if you want to get on the phone, talk to sales, you can get somebody 24 hours a day. If you want somebody to fix
on the first
link,
ring,
right.
On the first ring.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. But like when you have a problem the faster you got to solve, I always say it this way, you got to solve their problem before they become a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because the longer you delay, the louder they get, the worse your reviews are going to be, the worse everything's going to, all this kind of stuff. So my question for everybody listening is who in your company is 100% responsible for on top of it within an hour response to people that have issues with three main areas. Number one is technology. I can't log in. My link's not working. Password, you know, that kind of thing. I call it the trouble triangle. Number two is some type of content, or if you have software, like actually using the software. So the usability of, like, what does this mean? And I need help with this. Help me with it. And number three is with payments. So that's the payment issue. Like, I've got an issue with payment, or I don't want to pay, or how do I cancel, or whatever. That's the trouble triangle. And so how quickly are you on top of that? We have clocks internally here at Gravy. We are instantly, as soon as stuff fails, we're on top of it. We're on top of it. We're on top of it. And we do this for companies in the payment space. But in the other spaces, how on top of that? If you don't have a zero inbox by 5 o'clock when it comes to your customers responding, you are absolutely pissing people off. So we have zero inbox policy. So the number one, the reason we see people get pissed and not want to pay is that you're just not fast enough. So be on top of it, be quick, be fast, and you can hire people to just focus on this. So that's number three.
I'm going to give you a saying that you can put up on your wall.
All right.
It never costs as much to fix the problem as it does to not fix the problem.
That's so good. Hey, let's get to number four.
Yeah, let's do it.
You ready? All right. Last step I call the 55 cent principle. My buddy is a colonel in the Marines, and he was walking around. He had like 2,000 Marines that were reporting to him. And one guy was like a 19-year-old, he just enlisted. And the dude, he literally puts tires on trucks. So, and it's in Tampa, Florida. It is like blazing hot, year round, but you know, in the summer. He could tell the dude was just like, he just could see, like, this sucks, right? I signed up and now I'm putting tires on the truck. Like, I thought it was going to be much more exciting than this. And so he goes and just finds out the guy's name. He sends a personalized thank you note to the kid's mom at home and says, I want to tell you about Johnny. He works so hard. He puts tires on the trucks better than I've ever seen. Like, blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on and on to this guy's mom about Johnny. He comes back. He's walking through next week. The guy's freaking lifting the tires. He's got a smile on his face. He's cranking the thing. And my buddy, Derek, who's the colonel, he said, Casey, it is amazing. It is amazing what a handwritten note and a 55-cent stamp can do for an individual and for a human being. And we started talking about it. And his principle is this, is that you treat everybody like they're a somebody. Whether they're putting tires on or whether they're a general, you treat everybody like they're a somebody. And here's the point of this, is that with your customer base and with the people that you have, my question is, when's the last time you picked up a phone and you just called a customer and listened to them? When's the last time you read a handwritten thank you note to say, thank you so much? Every single new customer, you'll get one from me. Every new customer we bring on the Gravy, I write a handwritten personalized thank you note to, and I will never quit doing that. I don't care if the stack is 100 deep every single day, because there is nothing more important than treating people like people. So in a day of digital, the way to win is to be human. The way to win is to be authentic and real. The way to win is to actually care about people and treat everybody like they're somebody. And so when I did this, I spoke at a conference. There was 800 people in the room, and I passed out 800 thank you notes with stamps on them. And I challenged everybody to write a note to a customer. You should have seen the response people after their customers got it. Their customers going like, oh my God. And they're putting it on the refrigerator and they're telling their friends and they're putting it on Instagram. Listen, it takes 55 cents to make people love you. So why would you not do that? And so our goal is to create as much love through handwritten personalized thank you notes. So we, at our company, at Gravy, we have a full-time position called a celebration coordinator. All the lady does is our team uses her as a resource to send stuff. Like, if there's a baby that has a baby, we send our Gravy, we have Gravy baby onesies and they go to the hospital. If somebody has a death, we're sending flowers, we're sending all this stuff. So constantly we're stalking Instagram, we're stalking our customers, and we're seeing what happens in their life. And if anything's happening, we're able to use her to shoot those things. And guess who she is? She's Colonel Derek Lane's wife. And so she's a military spouse, and she sees him do this and he does this. And so it's freaking awesome.
Oh, that's so cool.
So the point is, even just, you don't have to even do anything. Pick up the phone and freaking call a customer. Listen to somebody. Talk to somebody. Ask questions. Quit thinking you know all the answers. and just listen. So when's the last time you did that? And that's the question I would have for your users. And in doing this, you'll get to the point of going, here's how they think, here's how they feel, here's the wording that they use. That's the number one. When I call customers, I'm listening to how do they describe what we do? It doesn't matter what I say. It matters the way they say it. And so does that make sense?
Totally.
So that's huge. And those are the four things that we've learned. If you can focus on these things, man, it's huge.
Hey, we like, there's one question we like to ask all of our CEOs that come on the show.
Yeah. And the other is how much money do you?
No. No, which is, if I'm a salesperson, because a lot of our listeners are salespeople, what's the best way to get through the gatekeeper to get to you, Mr. CEO?
The best way to get through the gatekeeper to get to me.
Yes.
Yep. Pretty good question, isn't it?
Huh? Yeah, it happens every single day. The number one way is to find I would go to LinkedIn and see somebody that knows, like if there's a mutual connection of any way,
yeah,
and then try to create a direct text introduction.
Yep.
The number one way to get to me is my cell phone number.
Ooh. But how would they get it?
Exactly. That's how good you gotta be. So when I ask for introductions to people, I don't I've got a buddy. He knows a bunch of people, and I do it sparingly because I want to be wise and steward his relationships well. But like, hey, can you do an introduction? Can you do it via text?
Ooh.
And so I get all my introductions via text message because email is just a lost call. So that's one. Another one, here's another one, is don't send, like, make it hyper and uber personalized and brag on me. So here's what I mean. Hey, Casey, I was listening to your podcast, and when you said principle number three, which meant I actually listened through to principle number three, it said this. Here's what that meant to me, and it was super impactful. I want to learn from you.
Yep.
That kind of thing. Anytime it's, hey, I'm this private equity company, and I want to talk to you, or hey, I've got this widget, and I think it would help your business, it's delete, delete, yep, delete, delete, delete. Hyper-personalized. I want to learn from you. And then another one is, I've done this. I just literally will email people and say, hey, can I interview you? And but not even for a podcast.
Like a blog article or some sort of.
Yeah.
I've done it just, I didn't even tell them why. I want to interview you. Here's why. Everybody wants to be interviewed because you feel like the star and they're asking your opinion and all this kind of stuff. And I have never, ever, there's not anybody we've ever reached out to schedule an interview with that's turned us down.
Casey talked a lot about creating a magic moment every 7 days. And, you know, think about the businesses that you deal with on a routine basis. How many of them actually do that?
And you, as a diehard, why don't you take a piece of paper right now, as fast as you can, and write down the last time you created a magic moment.
Mm-hmm.
The last time you did something that somebody else would go, damn, that's amazing. No one ever asked that. No one ever did that. No one ever said that. Or is it just kind of have a nice day? And I'm challenging you that your business will flourish with referrals the more magic you create and the more magic you put out there. So let's look at it from this perspective. The magic moment doesn't always have to be about sales or selling. I want you to think, if you have ever had a medical thing done to you, a medical procedure done to you, and the doctor calls you that night at home. For those of you who have had that happen, it's a freak out.
Oh, yeah. You're like, what? You know, even now, like our doctor, because we're both part of this, Concierge Medical. Yeah. So, like, I was sick a couple weeks ago, and I thought I might be getting sick. So I called them on a Saturday because I can. Yeah. And then on Monday morning at like 9 a.m., they called me to see. So we spoke. They diagnosed me over the phone and basically told me I was fine. And then the like 24 or 48 hours later on Monday morning, they called me just to follow up, see how I was feeling, and check to see if I wanted to come in.
And the challenge that you, it doesn't happen ever. The challenge that you have as a diehard is to get out of the ordinary zone, get out of the competitive mode zone, and create something that your competition would envy you for, that your customers will thank you for and acknowledge you for and tell somebody else about. Magic is about talking about how cool the magic show was.
So, sidebar, we use Gravy as our customer retention specialist.
Disclaimer.
And but we pay them, okay? So, like, this was not Casey begging us to come on our show. In fact, I reached out to them and said, we love what you're doing. We got to have you guys on our show. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we got connected to Casey. And I just got this email the other day from Danielle, who said, from their team, who said,
Dear Jen.
It was a really nice note. And then she had two bullet points. We have been able to recover 274.77%. And then she put that in dollars worth of, like, the lost, so to speak, lost customers. That's $2,000 of renewal business back into your business. And we've successfully brought five of your hard-earned customers back online in the past 2 weeks. And so, you know,
and
we're
cool
all
about it. They're nice about it. It's not one of those threatening things where they're going to put you in.
No, they're there to help. They're right. Like an extension of our team. And so I write back. This was really interesting, right? I write back, oh my goodness, that's amazing. Thank you so much. Something like that. And Alex writes back, wow, in all caps, thanks for your hard work. And she goes, of course, your responses are my exact why every day. Have a great weekend. I got the chills. Like, she genuinely cares so freaking much. And so if you're out there listening to this and you have employees, how much do they care about your customers' win?
And the answer is either none or not enough.
Yeah.
And I think that you have to look at this from the perspective of not to sell their service, but what are you doing in your business that's actually promoting customer retention, customer loyalty, increased business, and a potential for a referral? Because that's what these guys do.
Oh, yeah.
And we hired them as an outside service, but we do the same thing inside. And your job is to figure out, as a diehard, whether you're a manager or on the team, sit down with your CEO and say, hey, we're losing customers, and here's my idea for how I think we can retain them.
Totally.
Yeah, it's not that difficult to do, so...
No, but it is magic.
It's totally magic. Watch me pull an order out of my hat. Watch me fill my bank account while no one's looking. And this is what they do. They put money in our bank and they create orders for us. So I'm challenging you that there's got to be a way in your business that you can create magical moments for your customer. And I think that's pretty much the message of the day. Where the hell's the magic?
Right. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
Oh, you are?
I wanted
to be Jen Gluckow.
No, you left your lipstick upstairs.
All right. And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm reminding you, diehards, get out there. Create magical moments, even if your ass falls off.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellerDieNetwork.com.